TKO.
From Lights Out Productions.
From the website of 1320wils.com, I'm your host, Brad.
And I'm his brother, Jason. With us, as always, is Honest Rob.
How's it going, everybody?
All right, first up on the TKO, we are going to start with our headline news story. This week, we're going to be talking about Brock Lesnar, the huge heavyweight, former champion in UFC.
Right.
Possibly going to WWE, you know, doing a spot there. Hasn't really been in the gym since his last loss to Cain Velasquez.
Yeah, I've been hearing stories that Vince McMahon trying to get him back for, I believe it's WrestleMania. And it's just kind of been weird that he hasn't really been back in the gym since he lost to Cain Velasquez.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if normally if you would hear this story, you kind of been like, okay, it's just Vince McMahon trying to get something started.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't really think much of it. But the fact that he hasn't been back in the gym when this is your career.
Yeah. And you would think from a competitor like Brock Lesnar, once you take a loss like that, you'd really want to get back to the grindstone and hit it, you know, but.
And even it was even a week after he lost, you know, he was going on saying that he wanted to face a Big Country Roy Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, why are you picking opponents and, you know, I guess making a big deal about it if there's a possibility that, if you're not back in the gym, to me, you're not taking your career seriously. You know?
At least not right now, definitely no. And so, if you're considering a move back to WWE if it's just a guest spot or whatever,
yeah.
I mean, I guess I can see that. But you need to be training in order to fight. Like, that's
right.
The bottom line, and he's not doing that, so.
And Dana White even was on record basically saying, you know, Brock Lesnar's under contract with us. I mean, so if... Mm-hmm. If Dana White is taking it seriously enough, though, to make a comment about it, then I think that there has to be some type of validity to the story, you know, that there is a possibility that he could be going back to WWE. And like I said, if it's just a guest spot, cool, I understand that,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, I mean, to really throw away the fact that he was, a pretty dominant heavyweight champion, I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
To go back to fake fighting, I mean, it just seems a little weird to me, you know.
It's definitely a weird story. I mean, I can understand where he might have some allegiance to the sport. I mean, it is the sport that launched him to his current popularity.
Right.
And, you know, I can see where he might have some ties to it and want to go back and do some things for him. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, it seems like he's preparing for a jump back to that and just that.
Yeah. And I mean, really, I thought that when he did fight, you know, I mean, he really, to me, has a chance to come back and be the heavyweight champ again.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, his fight was with Velasquez was bad. Okay. it was bad. He doesn't take hits very well.
No.
And that was evident. But it wasn't like I didn't see, shines of hope for him in the future.
Yeah.
He needs to get a little bit more boxing. His wrestling is second to none.
Yeah, he's the best heavyweight wrestler.
Yeah. And he's a huge freaking guy, you
yeah.
know? So it's like, if he can get, you know, just a little bit more boxing under his belt, I don't see any reason why he couldn't be a champ again.
Oh, definitely not.
And be a dominant one at that.
I think he's always got, I mean, at least the wrestling, and, you know, it might not make for a very exciting fight, but he could always take you down and lay on you for five rounds and win the belt.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
so,
there's not many people that could bench press Brock Lesnar off that.
That's
so,
true. Getting 265 off of you, and that's after he's cut weight, is going to be a tall order for anyone, I think.
So, obviously, that was our headline story. We're going to keep an eye on that, let you guys know if anything changes with that. If we hear one way or the other, whether he's going to be making a jump back to WWE, either for a guest spot or going to make it his permanent home. Moving on, we want to recap the UFC that just happened. So,
yeah, UFC 125 resolution just happened on New Year's Day, January 1st. Obviously, the big fight, it was one fight of the night, was the championship fight in the 155-pound division, the lightweights there, was Frankie Edgar versus Gray Maynard. And they actually fought to a draw.
Yeah, that
to
was...
a draw.
That was honestly, I'll be completely honest, and I've seen a lot of fights.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the most interesting fights I'd ever seen, to be completely honest, because Frankie Edgar just got destroyed the
in
first round.
In round one, yeah.
I mean, destroyed.
Whoops, bad.
I mean, it might have even been worse than the Shane Carwin Brock Lesnar first round.
It could have been. It was pretty bad.
I have no idea how Frankie Edgar made it through that round.
Dude's got a chin on him.
I mean, he hasn't been knocked out yet.
Yeah.
And that was a testament to it right there. I mean, he just got destroyed for 5 minutes straight.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back the second round and looks like it's round one.
Looks like nothing happened at all.
He's bouncing around. And I mean, I just, it was crazy to me. And so I think what most people are saying is that they must have scored the first round 8-10.
Yeah.
And
I can see that. I think 10-8 is justified. Gray Maynard in the post-fight press conference was talking about how he thought it should have been a 10-7 round.
Okay, that's a little
extreme. I've been watching MMA for years. I have seen some extremely dominant rounds, and I have never seen a round scored at 10-7.
I don't think I have either. I don't even know if that was possible. But, I mean, you'd have to not like someone, I think, to score a 10-7. But, I mean, and that's kind of what I feel is part of the problem I think people are having with the draw right now is that whoever you were really going for to win the fight looked like they won the fight to you.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted Frankie Edgar to win. So, to me, Frankie Edgar won the fight. But I think if you asked someone that was a Gray Maynard fan, I think they would say, oh, Gray won the fight.
Yeah.
You know?
The way I had it scored, and I think this is the way the judges had it scored, too, based on how it came out, I think Frankie won the second, and I think the fourth and the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Gray won the first and the third, and he won the first one 10-8. And I think that's how you got to the draw.
And he was trying to say that he thought he won the fifth was his argument, which honestly the
and
fifth,
Frankie thought he won every round after the first,
right?
So.
and I really think the fifth round could have gone
it was
way.
A very close round,
so I definitely think that there was, you know, I mean, I don't know, there's it's hard to say one way or the other who the winner was in that, and that's evident in the fact that they're going to do an immediate rematch. But what this does now is it pushes Anthony Pettis back, who was promised, you know, the first shot at the belt to kind of unify, you know, WEC coming into UFC. And a great fighter. I'm a huge fan of Showtime Pettis. So, I mean, it kind of is unfair to him in a certain aspect.
I mean, it's definitely an unfortunate thing for him. But at the same time, given the fight that just happened, you've got to do... I'm generally not in favor of immediate rematches. Like, when they did it with Frankie Edgar and BJ Penn, I was like, come on, really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that one wasn't even really that close. Frankie Edgar clearly won. But, I mean, this one was so close. It was a draw. There's no clear winner. Gray Maynard still has that victory over Frankie Edgar. I say you got to do the immediate rematch.
Well, I mean, from Anthony Pettis' point of view, though, you're going from thinking you're going to fight in a couple months to now you're going to at least double that time.
Yeah.
I mean,
he'll still probably have another fight in there, though. It just won't be for the title.
You think so?
I would think so. Wouldn't you want one?
Well, I would think that it's a lose-lose situation then, because they're going to put him up against someone he should be able to win. If he doesn't win, then they're going to say, well, why does he deserve a title shot? Whoever beat him then deserves a title shot.
I don't know if many fighters go into a fight thinking, you know, what if I lose, though?
I mean, I don't know, though. I mean, it's like that's why Rashad Evans hasn't fought, you know, waiting for Shogun, because he was like, what do I have to gain?
Yeah,
from
I guess
that?
That's true. He doesn't have you anything know? To gain other than, you know, money, respect, fame.
Little things like that. You know, fighters are more concerned about their record more than anything else, though. So,
yeah.
I mean, but I do see the point in the immediate rematch. So like I said, I mean, I don't like draws. I think they're horrible. And so it's like, you know, I want to know who the winner is.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I definitely see that there is a point to it, you know, but I just feel bad for Pettis, you know, being that. Yeah, I'm a huge Pettis fan. So.
To kind of continue on that too, Brad, I think there's got to be some way to break these draws, especially when it's a championship fight. I mean, there's got to be some way that the judges can. Obviously, we're not going to get the Gaming Commission is never going to approve fighting a sixth round.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's got to be a way to say, you know, punches landed. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at any other sport, there is some sort of a tiebreaker for playoff and championship type game scenarios.
Right.
So I mean, you would think that they could come up with something.
Well, I guess maybe they figure that the tiebreaker is whoever has the belt retains it.
I guess that is true. I mean,
it's not the way that Frankie Edgar wanted to win, though.
No,
and it's not the way that Gray Maynard wanted to lose if he was gonna lose, you know. So it's hard, though. I mean, it's a really hard decision, and it's not, I mean, we're sitting here talking about draws like it happens all the time. It's a pretty rare occurrence. You know, but I mean, it happened, and I mean, it seems like a lot of people are really torn from what I've been reading. I mean, there's a lot of people that say they thought Frankie Edgar won. There's a lot of people that say they thought Gray Maynard won.
Yeah, it was a very close fight. I mean, a draw is almost the most fair thing that could have happened, because it was a right down the middle fight. I mean, you could have two people sitting in the same room watching the same fight, and one thought Gray won and one thought Frankie won. I mean, it was very close.
I definitely agree with that. There was some other good fights that happened on the card, though.
Definitely. The next the co-main event, I guess they want to call, I don't know how this is a co-main event with with a championship fight like that going on, but the co-main event was Brian Stann versus Chris Leben. Brian Stann TKOs Chris Leben in the first round.
Oh yeah.
Chris Lieben has a chin on him.
He does.
This dude is a tough, tough dude.
He really is.
And Brian Stann looked so good coming out there and really proved the power in his hands, just knocked him straight out. And I don't know. Brian Stann looked incredible in this fight.
And generally, I haven't been a huge fan of Brian Stann.
Me neither.
He wasn't really anyone that wowed me. I was kind of like, okay, he's a decent fighter. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a champion in WEC.
I thought he got that title shot a little early in his career.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to say. I mean, I think lately, before it was, you know, bought out by UFC and all the fighters removed, mm-hmm. I think that WEC was kind of, when he was a champion, was a lot.
It was the kid brother. It was UFC's kid brother.
It wasn't as talented as it had become before it was recently bought out by UFC. But yeah, so it's like, I didn't really put much stock in that. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't really have top competition there. And, you know, he's calling out Chris Lieben. And I was kind of like, okay, it made sense from a fighter standpoint because they're both very heavy-handed, mm-hmm. both like to stand and bang, something that fans really want to see.
Yeah, definitely.
But it was completely, and I mean completely one-sided.
Yeah, Lieben didn't do much of anything as far as offense goes. He just took punches.
Yeah.
And he did that well, but
it's not going to win you the fight with your blocking.
Definitely not.
So yeah, I mean, and Brian Stann came out and really looked good.
He looked improved is what impressed me, because I've seen some of his fights in WEC mm-hmm. and hadn't been impressed. I thought he was very raw as a fighter, and he came out this time and he looked improved to me. Again, mm-hmm. I didn't get to see his ground game, but he looked very improved even in the stand-up.
And I think that's going to be a question moving forward. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, you definitely have the power in your hands. We know that.
Yeah.
And you can make a living in the UFC just having the power in your hands, as mm-hmm. Chris Lieben has shown pretty much through his entire career. But what can you do on the ground? Mm-hmm. Because that's what wins championships.
Definitely.
For Stann, I think, to step up and really become a competitor, Brad, I think that he needs to, exactly what you were just saying, he needs to work on the ground game. He's proven that he's got the power, like we were talking about. In his 10 wins, he has 7 by knockout.
Mm, wow.
So, and he is 4 out of 5 in his last 5 fights. Mm-hmm. So it was smart for him to call out Chris Lieben. One, it puts him on that borderline of that upper echelon of fighters. Mm-hmm. Two, it gives him the ability to stand and punch with somebody. He didn't call out someone who's just going to bring him down to the ground or anything like that.
The next person he called out actually was Vanderlei. He wants to fight Vanderlei next.
And I think that's going to be a stand and punch round too.
Oh, yeah,
well,
definitely.
He's more than likely will probably be fighting with Chael Sonnen first. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
That's who Chael wants to fight.
Yeah.
And
I think he gets pickings over Brian Stann, probably.
And has been talking a lot of crap, too.
Yeah.
He said that when coming back off his 6-month suspension for the performance-enhancing drugs, he said that he wanted a very easy fight that was going to be easy for him to win.
Wow.
And why not call out the person with the worst record in the weight class for the UFC?
Wow.
That is some major trash to be talking
that
there.
Is.
However, he does have that 6 months that he has to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So within 6 months, I mean, there is a real chance that he could fight Brian Stann and then
be ready for Chael Sonnen after that. Yeah.
There is a possibility there. I don't know how much Wandy wants to fight.
Yeah,
but,
I don't know.
I mean, we could see another person being called out was GSP.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that a little bit, Jason?
Sure. Another fight on the card was Dong Hyun Kim.
He won
a unanimous decision over Nate Diaz. And it wasn't a very stellar fight.
No,
I mean,
it wasn't all that fun to watch.
It was, you call them what, surfers, right,
yeah,
Brad?
Yeah, surfers. They pretty much just put you on the ground and kind of surf on you for the entire
round. Yeah, so I mean, it was a pretty boring fight, but Kim did, you know, take down Diaz and pulled off the unanimous decision there.
Decent striking, but it wasn't a whole lot. More of a ground and pound.
Diaz was throwing all sorts of submission attempts from the ground, but couldn't really lock anything in.
I mean, it was kind of, you know, Kim throwing in some punches here or there, mm-hmm. Nate trying to throw on a submission, and then it would go back to grappling again.
It was just enough to win, but it wasn't spectacular.
Yeah, it was like, oh my gosh, that was an awesome win.
I mean, that's been Dong Hyun Kim's calling card.
Yeah.
I mean, in his 14 wins, 7 are by decision. So, I mean, lately he's just been all, his last 3 wins, I think, have all been by decision. So,
wow.
It kind of brings up that whole thing is like, okay, what's a better fighter? Someone with a better record or someone that the fans want to see?
You know?
And that was kind of the knock on Machida for a long time, was that he couldn't finish fights. And then all of a sudden you kind of saw it where he was finishing fights.
Yeah. Machida's a whole nother monster. You can't lump him in with any other fighters, really. He's completely, his style is just completely off.
I can't lump him in with the stun gun?
No, probably not. After the fight, stun gun goes crazy and starts calling out GSP, saying he's going to, and in the press post-fight press conference, said he was going to ground and pound GSP and take his belt. So
yeah, I would like to know what the stun gun's been smoking, because wow, you don't ground and pound GSP. Okay, there's just some things that you just should not say, and there's some things that you should not think, and one of them is thinking that you're going to take down GSP and ground and pound
him. Well,
who was good at ground and pound?
Who?
Matt Hughes. How did that go for him against GSP twice?
Yeah. Also, who was good at ground and pound was Josh Koscheck. He's getting a new orbital around his eye. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to take anything away from the stun gun's performance. He won. That's great. But you are far.
You're leagues away.
Far away from ever getting into the ring with GSP, let alone thinking that you would actually beat him.
Yeah.
I mean, I could rant about this for a half hour. I mean, that's like me calling out like Kobe Bryant for one-on-one or something like that.
I will beat him in a game of horse.
I mean, he was just so far out there. I think even Joe Rogan almost kind of laughed at him when he was, you know, doing the interview at the end, and he said, you know, I stun gun, I want GSP. And Joe Rogan was like, yeah, you want GSP. Anyway, let's take a look at the replay.
Let's look at some reality for a second here.
He needs to at least 3 more wins against quality opponents before.
Yeah, I'd say a John Fitch maybe would go miles for his chances.
And to be honest though, I don't think he's got it in him.
I don't think he does either.
A John Fitch,
but I think he needs to beat that level of competition
before
he's even close to a title shot.
And so yeah, I think he needs to come back down, down to earth a little bit.
Yeah, he was high off his win. We'll chalk it up to that.
Yeah, he wouldn't last 2 rounds with
no,
GSP.
I don't think so.
And that's. 2 rounds might even be being nice about it.
Yeah.
So what's one of the other fights?
Another fight on the card. We had Thiago Silva versus Brandon Vera. Thiago Silva got a unanimous decision out of that one. And this one wasn't really close. It went to a decision, but it wasn't really close at all. Yeah. Thiago Silva beat Vera every round. Mm-hmm. Just made him look ridiculous, really. He was slapping him at one point. Open palm slapping him in the head.
Oh,
he was drumming on his back a la Randy Couture when he spanked Tito. You know, it was pretty bad.
And it was funny because just based on the people that were fighting this fight, I thought this should have actually been the co-main event. I was really excited to see this one.
Yeah.
And Thiago Silva just looked amazing.
He did.
I mean, And I have to point this out, Brandon Vera now, after his past 2 fights, now has to get surgery again. He had the surgery versus Bones Jones last fight, something
the orbital.
His eye,
I think it was his orbital.
Yeah. Now he has to get a nose job because it looked worse than Rich Franklin's
nose. If anybody has seen the Rich Franklin-Anderson Silva fight, you know how torn up Rich Franklin's nose was. This guy, Brandon Vera's, was even worse after this fight.
It was
ridiculous.
He was covering it with his hand because it was that bad. I mean, it was horrible. So when you lose 2 fights and have to get surgery, major facial surgery after each, you might need to rethink your strategy and rethink being a fighter.
Yeah,
you know?
He's not looking so hot. He's lost his last 3 in a row. He lost to Randy Couture, then John Jones, and now this one to Thiago Silva. Yeah. I think he's probably out of the UFC at this point, don't you think?
There's a large possibility. I mean, I really wouldn't be surprised if Brandon Vera got booted out of the UFC with all the new fighters coming in from WEC. Next up, really good fight was Clay Guida versus Takanori Gomi.
Yeah, that actually got a submission of the night. Mm-hmm. It was a really good fight. Clay Guida he's one of those fighters that just always puts his all into it. Yeah. And you can see he's just constant energy.
Yeah.
You know, very up-tempo fighter. And he looked as good as he's ever looked, you know, in the ring this time. Just really took it to Takanori Gomi. Won with a second round submission, and just fighters from Japan are killing me. They just continue to disappoint.
Yeah, they really just cannot get it together. I mean, his last knockout was against Tyson Griffin, which Tyson Griffin's kind of been on a slide lately, which it's neither here nor there.
Which is sad, but
it looked legit. It was a very good knockout.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like an actual UFC fighter. They were kind of saying that he got the jitters out from, you know, being in the U.S. and in the UFC and everything, but really, they don't transition well. They never have.
I don't know if it's something about the training style over there. Like, you know, the fighters that come from England, sometimes they don't have the best wrestling. They just don't have a good base for that over there, you know, no matter where they go. Maybe there's something in the Japanese style of training that just doesn't you know, it doesn't prepare them for the UFC. I don't know, but it seems like the only Japanese fighter I can really remember that's done anything good is Yushin Okami.
Yeah, and I mean, he continues to do well, but yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just I'm not seeing it, you know? I mean, it really is just, it's kind of getting really bad, you know? It's like, you see these big-name Japanese fighters that you're bringing over, and mm-hmm. in your mind, you're kind of just going, really? Again?
Yeah.
You know? And they come in and get destroyed.
Yeah, like Akiyama with Chris Leben. Like.
Oh, yeah.
Gomi has 3 fights in the UFC, 2 loss. The loss to Guida just recently, and also a loss to Kenny Florian. Mm-hmm. So, against American fighters, I mean, guy's got 40 matches, I think 32 wins, mm-hmm. but that doesn't translate. Like we're talking
well,
about.
Here's the thing, though. In his defense, it's not like these are bad fighters that he's fighting against, though.
But I mean, when you come in with a record like that,
you expect.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think Kenny Florian is near the top of the division, and I think that Clay Guida is definitely on his way up.
He's on his way up, yeah.
He's not there already. And always, like I said, always exciting to watch Clay Guida fight.
Something we've always seen in the UFC, too, you really have to win in an exciting way to be able to beat these top-ranked fighters.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, he's got 40 matches, 32 wins, 12 are by knockout, but 14 by decision. You just, to be a competitive UFC fighter, you just can't rely on those decision fights all the time.
Yeah, true. You definitely have to end some fights, and that endears you to the fans,
right?
Which in turn gets you better fights. So,
that was submission of the night. Yeah. Was that fight? What was knockout of the night?
Knockout of the night was actually a fight that was not aired. You had to watch the prelims on UFC.com to actually see this one. It was Jeremy Stephens knocked out Marcus Davis in the third round. So, unfortunately, we did not get to see that one.
What are we thinking about Marcus Davis, though?
Marcus Davis had a great run for a while there. I think he won 11 or 12 straight, something like that. Had a great run. I think he had a title shot in there, but lost.
Yeah.
And at this point, I think he's a little older, probably on the decline.
I mean, his scar tissue is just ridiculous.
He gets cut every fight.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, you know, maybe time for him to kind of hang it up with the new fighters coming in. And
yeah, unfortunately, because he's had a really good career. He's just not quite, you know, championship material.
And he was one of those, you know, guys that was based in boxing, you know, never, once you took him down, it wasn't a whole lot he could do, you know.
Yeah.
On the feet, he was exciting, but, you know, and to be an MMA fighter, you
gotta
have
it all
aspects, you know.
We keep coming in on the records here, the fighters, but I think sometimes the records really kind of go to show what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Davis has lost 4 out of his last 5.
Yeah.
So I think his career is about over.
Yeah, unfortunately, because like I said, it was a great career, and he was a great sort of a measuring stick, you know, for the welterweight division.
He was a level 1 boss.
He was.
That's going to do it for us here on the TKO from Lights Out Productions. I'm Brad.
I'm Honest Rob.
And I'm Jason. Everybody tune in on January 20th. We're going to have our next show up then. It's going to be a preview of UFC Fight Night Fight for the Troops 2.